This week on RSVMB Update, a ninja scattershot greets us with fixes to Grace of the Elves, The Ranch Out of Time, The Raptor's Chest, and Stone Spirits. Then we catch up on the latest from mods Warden, Mike, and Hypnos. Plus, the closed iOS beta arrives next week. This is RSVMB Update, episode 776, recorded Thursday, May 7th, 2020. Shane's Burner Phones. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSVMB Update. We're back again this week, and oh boy, we have a boatload of patch notes to look at, don't we, Tamis?
Yeah, a whole boat full of ninjas. Do they travel in groups?
I think that's what they do. I don't know whether it's boats or... I don't know what a group of ninjas would travel in. I mean, it's not like a gaggle of geese or something, right?
Oh no, I'm asking Shane.
Well, I mean, this is what RSVMB Update is for, to ask the questions RuneScape related or otherwise. We're here each and every week. I am Shane12088 in game, and he is Tanis79. And, you know, let's get into these patch notes this week, because, you know, that is precisely what this week is. It is a patch week before Double XP weekend arrives. And, you know, let's just start off with, I think, the biggest one here. The Grace of the Elves has had some major changes made to it, in particular that first and foremost, two new options have been added that while wearing the item, you can recharge the necklace while skilling. Charge Porter will add one sign of the Porter to the necklace, and Charge All Porters will add all signs of the Porter in your inventory until full or near full charge. And I think this is something people have always wanted because, you know, otherwise it's, hey, we're just going to use all of the porters that you have, but maybe only want to add one into them, right?
So. Great patch note. I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. We wouldn't have gotten it without archaeology, so.
You think thanks, archaeology. You think that's what the impetus of this one was?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, people are using porters like never before. Like, it's part of training now with archaeology, and yeah, I don't see the need being great enough then, but now for sure.
Yeah, I'm not on the Porter bandwagon for this, so, but continuing on, they added three new settings to it to govern how the porters are added. Always worn will continue to warn players before charging signs of the porters. Always consume will cause Grace of the Elves to automatically consume signs of the porter until full. And never consume will never attempt to waste any extra porter charges and will stop prompting a warning. So I think with that, the one I would put it on would be never consume.
Yeah, this is a great little patch note, man.
Yeah. And, you know, I think always consume would also be another option if you don't mind, wasting half of the porter.
Yeah, well, and it might not be half, man. I mean, you could have something weird where, you know, charging it up and numbers just work out funny, waste 25 charges or something. So, yeah, you just don't.
And do you really want to do that in this day and age?
No, dude, you can't afford that. That's,
yeah, because I mean, just look at the money coming in from from divination because of this, right? It's massive.
Dude,
it's massive.
I thought of you this week because do you remember the rent's too damn high guy?
Yeah,
back from it was him, and it said porters are too damn high. I was like, yeah, that's great.
Oh, that's funny. That's very funny. Continuing on with that, in the patch notes, the buff bar icon is now removed when the necklace reaches zero charges. You know, this is good. But I always find it annoying having the icon there, even when I'm not using the necklace. I don't know why. That's just something that annoys me. There's this little icon at the bottom, and it's going to be there, and it's there even if my porters are not active. I don't know. Am I being a little bit too picky with that?
Maybe. I don't know, though. I mean, RuneScape players are notoriously kind of anal about that shit,
yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
I mean, or OCD, I guess.
Yeah. I just kind of wish that the buff bar or the debuff bar icon wouldn't be there unless porters were turned on. The necklace will now prioritize activated signs of the porter instead of inactive ones, which is another good change. When the porter functionality is disabled, and this is the one I was complaining about, it, the number of charges will show on the debuff bar icon. And a filterable chat message has been added to notify the player when the Grace of the Elves reaches zero charges. And, you know, sometimes you're skilling and you've just outright forget that, I'm out of porters, and you have to go back to your worn equipment screen to pop that up. So this is another good one. And finally,
forget until your inventory fills up.
Yeah, or that. And when adding just one porter to the necklace, you will no longer be asked for confirmation. This is a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, it's a lot of work on a little item that I just don't see this happening before archaeology. Do you, Shane?
No. And, you know, this is that renewed focus to quality of life, which is something Mod Warden touched on in his live stream this week when he was on the stream, I guess you said, because I almost said on the couch, is that, you know, one of the biggest sources of emails that he got from the players in his inbox was that they wanted a renewed focus on quality of life and to don't forget pieces of content that they'd added to and make sure that those are always kept up to date. So this is that right here. And, you know, I think everybody in there and their family at this point has a Grace of the Elves given archaeology. So
I hope so.
All right. So first they tried making stone spirits, make ore a little bit more rare by
how'd that work out?
Tweaking the supply side of the mining equation. But before that, they tried the demand side to make it more desirable to actually use the bars that were in-game and the ores that were in-game smiths. So first, the demand side didn't work. Then they tried the supply side, limiting the ore coming in. And stone spirit values still remained low. And, you know, you can look at this in one of two ways. One is that ore prices were low because of stone spirits. Two, stone spirit prices were low because there was so much ore. So it's really a matter of perspective on how you look at this. There is no wrong way to look at it. And this is one thing.
There's totally a wrong way to look at it, right?
Well, no. And
well, you're the third option.
Just wait. Let me just finish here. In economics, one of the things is that you can look at things from both sides, and both sides are right, depending on your perspective. So with that being said, what do you think is the third way?
It's an item that shouldn't have been here anyway, that its existence pulled down ore as much as anything else. It should have just been taken out.
Yeah.
Taken out.
Yeah.
Its existence was part of the ore problem, but no one wanted to
acknowledge
that.
And you know, at the beginning, people were like, oh, no, we need our drops from Telos and whatnot. But, you know, David, I think, is representative of the top end PVMers, and they weren't missing much here. He is happy this week because, as he said, you know, it takes all of the garbage off of the Virago, Telos, and Araxor tables. That's his perspective. But skillers can also be very happy about this, too. because the rare drop table and super rare drop table that is procced when you get a Saren Spirit was also updated with this one. Previously, those used to give Adamant Gold and Runite for the rare drop table, and now that you get Phasmantite, Necrite, and Runite for the rare drop table. For the super rare drop table, you used to get Adamant, Coal, and Runite. Now you get Phasmantite, Necrite, Dracolith, and Aurichalcite. So that's good for people who are skilling on that regard, because, I mean, let's face it, Gold, Adamant, and Coal Stone Spirits really aren't that useful in this day and age.
No, they're not. They're not useful at all, but all that's going to do is knock down the ore price even more. They're going to be like, wow, damn, I guess mining smithies, it's just too good.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell's going on here.
For the Prif Crystal Chest, you used to get Adamant, Coal, and Runite. Now you get Aurichalcite, Dracolith, and Runite. Telos has been brought up from Runite to Light Animica.
Light. Shane, why are we playing Weekend at Bernie's with a piece of content that needs to go away?
Weekend at Bernie's? What's that?
They're propping up this, like, piece of dead content, dragging it around like it's still alive and it's still useful. And you don't remember the movie Weekend at Bernie's?
I never saw that. I never saw
it. We should have watched that, but I should.
Nex used to give Runite and Luminite. Now you get Necrite and Phasmatite. Nex, Angel of Death, goes from Rune to Bainite. God Wars Dungeon 2 goes from Luminite, this one had already been buffed, to Dracolith and Aurichalcite. Araxar goes from Adamant, Coal, and Runite to Necrite, Phasmatite, and Bainite. Virago, Kalphite King, and the Magister all go from Rune to Bainite. Corp Beast goes from Adamant and Rune to Phasmantite and Necrite. Legionnaires, the Barrows Rise of the Six go to Bainite from Rune. The QBD used to have Dracolith, Aurichalcite, Rune, and Luminite. Now she gets Dracolith, Aurichalcite, Necrite, and Phasmantite. General Gradar, Adamant, Coal, Runite to Aurichalcite, Dracolith, and Runite. And for hard mode, used to give Adamant and Coal. Now it's Aurichalcite and Dracolith. Krill goes from Rune to Aurichalcite. Commander Zilyana, Rune and Gold to Aurichalcite and Dracolith. Then we get to the Slayer creatures, which is, you know, where the bulk of people are going to be doing their killing these days. Abbey Demons go from Adamant and Rune to Aurichalcite and Phasmatite. Dark Beasts go from Adamant to Necrite. Spiritual Warriors go from Coal and Mithril to Luminite and Runite. Ripper Demons used to give Coal. Now they give Necrite and Phasmatite. Acheron Mammoths, Adamant to Necrite and Phasmatite. Rune Dragons, Rune to Necrite and Phasmatite. Erets from Runite and Adamant to Dracolith and Bane. And finally, Gargoyles from Mithril, Adamant, and Coal to Adamant, Luminite, and Runite. So I used to worry about the mid-tier ores. Now I worry about the top-tier ores with, you know, how these things are fought.
Well, what's going to happen? I mean, there's such a glut in the lower-tiered ores.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. I think they had to wait for that to kind of shake out of the economy before doing this.
Right. Well, yeah, but now the problem is when you do this, you're going to bring... I wouldn't be surprised if this happened anyway. Okay, I'm not an economist, but couldn't this bring Masterwork down because it was harder. It was a lot harder and more expensive to get those Stone Spirits for those words.
Yes.
So,
yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Telos apparently will drop 20 Light Animica Stone Spirits in one shot. It's listed as an uncommon.
And people farm that shit.
I know. Like
RIP. Well, you know what, though? Thanks for archaeology. It's
That's consumed on its own. I mean, it's got its own little economy to it. Virago. Where is that drop? I want to see. 15 to 25 Bainite Stone Spirits. Common. I've heard time and time again from David that he goes there and spends, you know, 3, 4, sometimes 6 hours at a time killing Virago.
Yeah. Well, I guess they gotta make a living, Shane. I mean, they just spent all their money getting archaeology in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, man.
Oh, we're gonna spend, you know, $2 billion, $3 billion, $4 billion on archaeology, yada yada yada, and what we're left here at the end to get the droppings, like,
yeah, what?
And
why is it such a bad thing to just remove it? Like, what is this resistance? Like, why is it never even brought up as an option?
I don't know. And see, the thing I'm worried about, I'm just worried about what's going to happen with the mining economy. Because the whole purpose of doing the mining and smithing rework was to make it so that the economy would work. And lo and behold, here we are, effectively filtering in ore at the top end. Stone spirits are basically an ore. You can't use it right away, but it doubles the amount of ore in game, which is bad for people who go mining.
Yeah, it should have just been taken out. Look, I'm not even saying take away the PVM drop. Seriously, I really believe you could replace that with straight GP at the value
salvage
that the stone spirit would have been. And you wouldn't be affecting all of the other sectors like this. You wouldn't be affecting, you know what I mean? Like, it'd have way less of an impact if it was just straight up GP.
Yeah. And you know, while we're on this one, we're gonna jump around a bit in the patch notes here. Because, you know, there's another thing this week that was tweaked with this in terms of these drops. And the Raptor's Key drops have also been tweaked. Actually, no, we'll wait to cover that because that's part of a larger suite of changes with that. But one thing I will say before we move on to there, there's new Orichalcum salvage coming in through the Raptor's chest.
I guess that's probably good for the Iron Man. Right.
I mean, really good for the disassembly side of it.
What'd you think when you read this, Shane? What'd you think?
Oh, I knew exactly what the discussion on it was going to be, and I knew why they did it.
But did you have to remind yourself where the Raptor's chest was?
No.
What the deal was?
No,
Really?
It used to be in Death's house. Now it's at War's Retreat.
Right.
But let's move on to Ranch at a Time.
I thought we were going to the Raptor.
No, okay, I want to do Ranch at a Time first because it's different.
Animals, that's happy. I like
that. It is. It is. It is really good because, that was the wrong button. At the Ranch at a Time, animal buyers in the bank chest have been made more accessible. Seasonalizer has been removed as it had no functionality for the ranch. There's now a space for Storm Barn to be built on the Ranch at a Time, and this can be purchased for 7,500 beans, and you'll need 15,000 wood, hide, and leaves from the Anachronia base camp to build the Storm Barn.
That's awesome. It does, but we should tell people it doesn't. You're not adding
capacity. It's just an interface to your existing Storm Barn of maximum of 60, regularly 30.
But it's nice to be able to.
It is nice to have that there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we need to underscore that these game decisions are taken and they're built for the majority of players out there. I know there was definitely some people who were hoping that there would be more Stormbarn space. I consider myself, and, you know, I have all the Master Farmer titles and whatnot. The only thing I don't have right now is 200 million XP. But I don't haven't used for more Stormbarn beyond 60. I think I'm currently at like 42 or something to that effect, and that's because I have lots of dragons left over that I'm saving for a rainy day if there's ever a need for beans, you could say. But I think 60 is enough, and I just wanted to underscore that with this this add-on. And building the Stormborn is a requirement for the bean there, done that. Got the postcard achievement for the comp cape, which came out with Anachronia, or sorry, with 120 farming. Teleporting to the ranch out of time will now land players directly where Great Granary Potterington and the dinosaur buyers are situated, and the first teleport after this update will still take you to the previous location on the beach. And players can now teleport to the ranch out of time via the Max Guild Garden Portal. The ability to attune the portal there can be bought from the miscellaneous reward sections of the Farmer's Market for 5,000 beans.
Which is cool, because that's as close as to the Max Guild as I'm getting right now.
Yep. A lot of us are in that boat. A lot of us are in that boat. Okay, Raptor's Chest. So this is the chest that you get keys from when you kill some of those big slayer monsters out there, like the Acheron Mammoths, the Wyverns, and the Ripper Demons and the like. It has been renamed to the...
That's the only way you get them?
Yes, I believe so. I believe that is the only way you get those. Let me just double check on that.
I'm pretty sure it is. It's like the Camel Warriors... Rippers,
yeah,
Mammoths,
that's right. Each
Wyverns.
Yeah, you gotta kill some of each to get some of the key. Oh boy. Ooh, Ripper Demons are so fun. Remember David's crazy method of AFKing Ripper Demons?
That's actually the smartest thing I've ever heard.
What was it? The it was the magic cannon, I think it was. With
rotating
defensive abilities to prevent them from hurting you.
Yeah.
Anyways, the chest has been moved from Burthorpe to War's Retreat. I thought it was in Death's House before. Okay. The order in which drops are rewarded have been reorganized. The chest uses a reward interface similar found on other reward chests. The new interface shows the total value of rewards and also allows them to be banked from within the interface. So just that usual, you know, hey, we're going to get these drops and you can either take or bank them or abandon. When claiming VIP Slayer tickets, a chat message will appear to show how many you've received and how many you have in total. A new Slayer point icon has been created so it can be displayed in the reward interface. Using a Raptor Slayer lamp, you'll now be asked for confirmation before receiving Slayer XP. A combine option has been added to key parts for ease of use on desktop and mobile. There's also an observe key option that you can use on the full key to guide players to the chest location, which, I mean, in War's Retreat, unless you, you know, go through the whole rigmarole of talking to War and going there through the portal, you're really not going to know what that is until you get one of the keys from one of these big Slayer critters. So that's good to add. And when you combine them, it will further guide the players to the location where you can find them. Adjusted messaging when opening the chest without a key to inform players of where to find key pieces, which, as we mentioned, mammoths, wyverns, ripper demons, and camels. Now, the drops have been...
probably wouldn't know that. Like,
yeah.
You know, right off the bat, because I had to think about it. I'm like, wait a minute,
this is above our pay grade.
Yeah, this is the mini-boss stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Raptor's basic outfit is now guaranteed drop from the chest. The unlock text for the basic outfit in the wardrobe has been adjusted to reflect above, and the chance to receive a Raptor's weapon has been increased from 1 in 200 to 1 in 50. Oh, that's a nice drop change with that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, those weren't bad weapons. I mean, I guess they're a little outclassed now, but...
Yeah, and I mean, still... The Wyvern crossbow is really interesting as a weapon, I think.
Yeah, it is.
So, and I mean, 1 in 50 is, I think, a good number given how you're not going to be, you know, doing multiple of these keys that often.
And no, this is hard. It's kind of hard to get to begin with.
And general drops have been rebalanced to bring them more up to date. And there's 7 possibilities of what you get when you open the chest. And, you know, for those who haven't done it before, you get a chance at getting one of your main weapon drops. Then you also have a 100% drop that you're always going to get, which includes things like the Pack Mammoth, Slayer points, and VIP tickets and the like. But then there's a possibility of 7 other drops that you can get from the Raptor's chest. So drop number 1 is Hydrix and Onyx Bolt Tips. Drop 2 is large blunt rune salvage, large spiky rune salvage, medium bladed Orichalcum salvage, dark Animica, and light Animica stone spirits. Drop 3 is uncut Onyx, uncut Dragonstone, and uncut diamonds. And that's 1 Onyx, 10 Dragonstone, and 10 diamonds. That's a nice one. Drop 4 is Magic Seeds, Guarana Seeds, Dragon Fruit Seeds, and Tomb Shroom Spores. You know, I don't know. I preferred when, you know, things like the Tomb Shroom and the Guarana Seeds and the Dragon Fruit only came from the Big Game Hunter and the dinosaurs on Anachronia, so they were kind of themed that way. I'm not sure how I feel about them percolating out into the wider world.
I mean, luckily they put it behind stuff that nobody wants to do.
Oh, believe me, there are people who want to do this, you know, after this week. Really? I've seen people who do want to go kill all these Slayer creatures on that. So there are people who were lined up for this. Oh, yeah. Possibility 5 is Water Talisman, Steel Ingots, Gold Charms, Green Charms, and Yak Hide. You get 100 Water Talismans, 100 Steel Ingots, 75 Green and Gold Charms, and 200 Yak Hide. Drop 6 includes Grimy Lantatomy, Crush Nest, Wine of Ceridomen, and Wine of Zamorak. And drop 7 is Serenic Scales, 3 of them, and 85 Battle Stabs. And the last one will just be Frost Dragon Bones. 100 of them.
Okay, so the last three.
So it's kind of like a little cherry on the top. Yeah, like it's not overly overpowered, I don't think. They improve the outfit so that the advanced cosmetic override no longer degrades at all and has become a permanent unlock. Kills required for the upgrade have been increased from 30 to 50. The unlock text for the advanced outfit in the wardrobe has been adjusted to reflect the amount of kills required, and the info box displayed when the upgrade obtained is now green to highlight the unlock.
So, was the way this read, was it a degradable cosmetic outfit?
Yes. Whereas the basic, is now always going to be unlocked. And
I wonder why that was different than, I mean, it.
And the advanced will no longer degrade on the cosmetic side.
It just seems like a weird thing to have done. That's like so out of the continuity of how they normally would do.
Yeah.
Cosmetics.
Yeah. I don't know. As I said, that kind of Slayer stuff is above my pay grade.
Oh, me too. I've never gotten a key nor a piece of a key, so.
I think I've only killed like 1 Ripper Demon.
I've never killed one, so.
Okay. Yeah. On to general changes for this week. The general reward interface now allows you to withdraw the items noted or unnoted. Nice. And, you know, there's a reason for this. I think that this is also getting focus is because of archaeology. This is the same screen you're going to see whenever you complete a special research or a research in general.
Oh. Okay.
Some of the meats in the Ooglog meat shop have been turned into packs of meat for easier purchase, and various meats that had zero stock have been removed. And what this means is that it's just become a lot easier to get meat to feed your dinosaurs and dragons.
Oh, yeah, that's,
And, you know, I don't want to add dailies on for people, but all this meat here is a good daily because, you know, people don't want to go to Ooglog. They'll just go and buy it off the exchange.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean,
bird meat, rabbit meat, and whatever the other one is that's there. So, some of these items, namely the packs, now restock on a daily reset instead of on a 24-hour timer. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yakai's in the Atiso shop have been turned into Yakai packs to allow for easier purchase.
Boom! That's the one, Shane.
Okay.
That's the one.
Why
right
do we
there.
Like this one? I don't Shane, know. I don't know what Yakai's are used
what?
For.
What? What's tomorrow, Shane?
Double XP weekend. Or sorry, Double XP live.
What do people do on Double XP live?
Summoning.
Yes. What's one of the biggest things you do for your friends?
Oh, for pack yaks, of course.
Ah, this is great, dude. Before you had to, like, load them up.
Go kill them.
No, you could go to the shop, but you had to, like, keep running between the shop and the bank, shop and the bank, shop and the bank. Like, this is great. That's awesome, dude.
Apparently, based on the number here, you can get up to 1,000 at a time now.
That's beautiful.
Well, I mean, I guess it might be a good time to make Yakhide on Double XP weekend, because looking at this, I mean, the prices have gone down a bit, but they're, you know, still in the first week of May above the 30-day rolling average. So, all right. When the herbicide option to auto-collect herbs is turned on, they'll go straight into your herb bag instead of the backpack, if you have a herb bag. That one really doesn't affect me that much. I mean, I guess if you collect your herbs that way, sure. All right.
I don't.
Sorry, continue.
I was just going to say, I don't usually mess with the single drop there unless it's noted.
Right. So, you know, you'd think that was it for patch notes, but there's more.
But wait, there's more.
For archaeology, I mean, 5 weeks in, we're still getting patch notes for this. Textures on the Spear of Annihilation and Masterwork Spear of Annihilation have been improved. The Ruthless Invention perk now appears with the correct icon on the buff bar. It's now possible to contribute a single item to a collection via a menu option inside the collector's interface. Oh boy, you have no idea how many times I was bit by this. I think it was two or three times I contributed my signet ring and Legatus pendant or whatever it's called into Zaros 1 or Zaros 2, I think it was, because I had them in my inventory after being there before the tool belt changes. And, you know, just being able to contribute specific items, you know, by right-clicking on them in that collection interface is good. This is a grade A start.
Very much. Yeah.
You can now discover pylon batteries while excavating in the Crit at prison block. The Spear of Annihilation and Masterwork Spear of Annihilation are now treated as Bandos items in the God Wars dungeon, which, because you excavate them from Warforge, I think makes sense.
Yeah.
The forge doors inside of Warforge will now list the keys you're missing to open it, as long as you've already found at least one already, and that should be no problem. You find the first one very quickly upon entering Warforge. Bad luck mitigation for artifacts has been increased. It will now take the player's last 5 received artifacts into account when awarding a new one. You know, I don't know about you, but I do Ceridomen 2 a lot for Chronotes. And, you know, just sometimes the amount of time it takes to get, you know, either the torch or the bronze Dominion medal for that one seems to take longer than getting the silver Dominion medal. So I'm glad that this is taken into account for what you get on these ones.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, for anyone who hunts collections is going to be happy about this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I like it so that, because the only reason I've really done that many collections so far has just been for the qualifications.
Right.
But, someday, I think once I hit the 99 and I really want to start using the boost and stuff, then I'll start doing a lot more collections.
Spending 20 mil an hour, as Bruce said?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's Chronotes have gone down a lot since then, so it's obviously not going to be that much, but the joke persists. You know, one question I wonder about this is, does this also take into account doubled artifacts? Should that happen with the Water Fan Familiar?
I mean, you'd think so, right?
Yeah. I'd like to think so, but something tells me that might not be the case because it's a different system. the familiar is different than the excavating, rewarding an artifact. All right. Archaeology actually at 99 got better with this because a new perk has been added to the skill capes, both of them. While worn, the player receives an additional 1% sprite focus when excavating at a spot with a time sprite. That's a nice boost. Better, you know, and, you know, I thought of this when we first talked about the archaeology skill cape. I thought, okay, that's nice. But there's nothing that really, you know, takes it to that next level and, you know, makes it a must, made it a must wear, in my opinion. And now this does this for me.
If, oh, yeah.
If you're 99.
Oh, dude. Well, I mean, you know, some people were getting an untrimmed and a trim, get two capes and switch them back and forth.
Interesting.
That constant, buff. Yeah.
That's really interesting. I didn't imagine people would do that. And, you know, I mean, for anybody who did get one of those untrimmed archaeology capes, it's much like the farming cape, you know, all white, unlike the farming one, which was green. Lots of people are going to have their eyes on that. Previously, the cape had the ability to modify relic powers at banks.
I spoke wrong.
What were you thinking of?
It's an unhooded and a hooded, not trimmed, untrimmed. My bad. Of course, everyone's a trimmed.
For why?
Because it counts as putting on it to the cape, but it renews the buff. Like, switch between them. Between the hooded and the unhooded. Boom, 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 boom. It'll keep it going the whole time.
And this is after this patch?
No, it's what's before.
But how would that make sense?
I don't think you have to do that.
Oh, you must be talking about the 120 cape. Because the 99s before, the 99 perk before would just let you modify relic powers at banks, like the magic cape did for spellbooks.
Sure, it didn't have that bonus on the...
No. The Master Cape perk was the one, and this might be what you're thinking of, allows you to provide progress to the next discovery when discovering an artifact. Is that what you're thinking of?
No, I'll have to ask.
Okay. All right.
That's I know it was a thing for a while.
All right. Could it be something with the Master Archaeologist outfit that now grants access to the Fixate ability? You can activate this from the skilling section of the Magic Spellbook. Fixate can be activated on archaeology excavations to guarantee the type of artifact that'll be gathered from that spot. You can activate Fixate 3 times a day.
Awesome.
Yeah. I kind of wish we could start getting this one before 99 now, you know? But you gotta wait for 99 for this.
I gotta get that outfit.
You gotta get going on Chronotes then, because they're 50k a piece.
I know.
And I mean, if you have the money, you might be better off just sinking the value and buying the Chronotes.
True. That's true.
I think Chronotes were going for something like 250 this week at some point.
Oh wow! Yeah, that's not.
So they have dropped hard since then. Current GE value says 50, but they were going for like 250-ish, give or take. I don't know what they're at now, but they have gone down a lot. And speaking of that, Chronotes can now be added to and used from the currency pouch.
I didn't think we were going to get this one.
No, neither did I.
Isn't that cool? Like, I'm like, huh? Like,
because, what? I mean, what other currency is tradable that you can do this with, right?
The only thing that was close was the bonds. Like,
yeah,
I thought, okay, so maybe there's the capability, but I don't know. I didn't think we were going to get this.
Yeah, neither did I.
I'm thrilled.
And there's the archaeology fixes for the week. And then there's some other fixes, too, which include tweaking the ancient legionary outfit to be adjusted to better fit female characters. Textures on the ancient legionary armor, shield, and sword have been improved, and updated the description and prices on Treasure Hunter in the 5 million to 200 million band to show that these prizes are members only. Then we got some little tiny bug fixes here and there, like fixing an issue that prevented the Dwarven Army Axe from being used as a pickaxe. I don't know who'd want to do that when we have immaculate pickaxes like the Pickaxe of Earth and Song. Fixed an easy clue hint referencing the Combat Academy so it no longer references content that's out of date. Fixed an issue that caused mobile users to crash after killing the Angel of Death. And corrected the start point for the Sheep Shearer mini quest in the quest journal. And there's your patch notes for the week. A huge, huge collection on there.
Bunch of them. But man, some quality of life fixes were out of this world.
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
All right. There's actually one more thing. The Ottomans refresh.
Oh.
So this week, the Ottoman store has been restocked with some fabulous treasures from past events, including the Beach Sand outfit and the Norm and Norm the Clockwork Gnome pet.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's really nice, isn't it?
Sure.
So
I got nervous for a second there. I thought you were going to say the Hot Sandwalk. I'm like, no!
Why?
I have a few tokens I saved.
Okay, fair enough.
Hoping, maybe taking a shot in the dark.
Let's have a look at what exactly is in the Oddments shop right now. I got it up on my screen. So, I mean, good time to buy. As of recording this, medium prismatic stars and medium prismatic lamps are 75 and 33% off, respectively. I can't say if that will be there when you guys get online, but you know.
But you got to get that sweet, sweet bonus XP for tomorrow.
All right, so we got the Beach Sand helmet, the Beach Sand chest plate, the Beach Sand leg guards, the gauntlets, and the sabatons. Norm the Clockwork Cat, also Beach Sand Cave. See, you see how many of these things I didn't have here before. For people looking at it, I didn't interact on the beach. So there's that. And I assume the magical rest and magic carpet teleport were all there before. I don't exactly know, what we got going on here in the Ottoman shop. It's not something I pay attention to that much on the cosmetic side. Maybe I'll buy some of these magic stars later for double XP. I have 10,000 oddments.
How do you end up with oddments like that? Like, that's crazy. You always end up with oddments when they do these refreshes. I'm like,
well, I've spent all my oddments numerous times, and I destroy anything on Treasure Hunter that isn't bonus XP stars for oddments.
Oh, you get oddments for if you destroy
stuff?
Yeah,
you get more.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, I'll go for woodcutting double XP. I got 5.4 million of that. I've been stocking up a bit on the invention double XP because, you know, I have a bunch of cogs to do for double XP coming up. So
I don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
I'm doing archaeology.
Yeah.
Doing archaeology.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll talk about that later, about how it's going to turn out, but that's what that
is. I have something
right now
that's going to pain me greatly.
Yeah. Oh?
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's move on. Next up, we got some news that you and I have been waiting for a long time. Oh. Many other people have been too.
I heard the trumpets, man. I was like, ah!
iOS closed beta for RuneScape 3 is launching on Monday, May 11th. So to sign up, there will be a post on the RuneScape front page. They'll be making available 9,900 slots. And the way it works is that you, on iOS, use something called the Test Flight app. And this is Apple's way of beta testing their, or enabling beta testing within their environment. So you just go to the App Store, download something called Test Flight. It's a free app. And then presumably there will be instruction posted on Monday that you can wait and sign up for. The first one opens up on Monday at, I believe it is, 5 p.m. BST. 5 p.m. BST on Monday, May 11th. And they say following that, additional waves will be announced 24 hours in advance on RuneScape.com and in the Twitter feed. And, you know, they say to need to play this, all you need is a device running iOS 10 or later, because the beta requires a 64-bit CPU. So we're on iOS 13 right now. So if you are up to date and you have been up to date for the last 3 years or so, you should be able to run this.
Wait, I'm good.
And you know what happens with this? The way these betas work is that they're done for your Apple ID, so that anybody who signs up for this with their Apple ID is going to be able to install it on whatever iOS devices they have.
It's been a long time since I used my Apple ID.
Yeah, and you know I have.
I don't know if I remember what it is.
I hope you remember what it is, because I asked you that question earlier in the week.
Oh, that's my ID. Oh, I was thinking my password, dude. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, my ID's good. Yeah.
I have something here called an iPhone 5S running iOS 12.
For real?
Yeah. With my Apple ID on it.
Did they, like... Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that.
That's the phone I took when I went to the one of the phones I took when I went to the UK. And it worked.
How many phones you carry with you, Shane? What, you got burners? What else is going
on?
Well,
I put a UK SIM in it, and that's what I used for my camera and you know, the data there, but I did bring this one along. Just in case anybody needed to get in contact from home, because it would be on a different number, right?
Oh, no. The only people I know with multiple phones, Shane, are drug dealers and pimps. And I don't think you do drugs, so I don't know what you had going on.
Oh, let's not go there. Wait, that sounds really bad, doesn't it? Oh, what have I just opened myself up to?
Memes, Shane. You opened yourself up to the memes.
Yeah, I think we already got one of those, don't we? Oh, boy. All right. Live stream.
Good live stream.
Yeah, it was. We had JD hosting with Mods Warden, Mick, and Hypnos, and he was called Mike or Mick. I have still no idea which one it is.
I know. JD called him Mick, but he corrected, like, a while back and said it was Mike. So, do we know his name better than JD?
I have no idea. I'm more confused now on whether it's Mick or Mike. But
I think it's Mike. That's what he said.
Yeah.
That's what...
All right. So, they started off. They went through this... The bullet points were archaeology, ninja team, live ops, treasure hunter, and core experience. Archaeology-wise, they said the number of players returned surpassed their expected value. It performed way better than anticipated, and they said, yeah, you know, we admit some of this was due to current world circumstances, which makes sense. But all you have to do is look at the graphs, right? Because, you know, we saw it tick up in March by about 5,000 players, but it shot up once archaeology arrived by a lot more. So,
I think it's self-explanatory. We all know how good archaeology is.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to the numbers, by hook or by crook, man, whatever.
Yeah,
It was a good month.
They said when the skill was planned, there were lots of questions about whether or not it would be exciting enough.
I know.
They're just amazed at how, you know, people keep coming back and how addictive the core gameplay is.
Was that Therion's?
No, he didn't say it was addictive. He just says that's...
No, but he said if you get that right...
Oh, yeah. Then you have a good game or a good whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Archaeology has given a renewed sense of confidence that the company can take on things of this scale and execute them. And Mod Mike called this expansion level updates. And, you know, that's what I said. And I am so glad that they see this now. That archaeology was that flash in the pan, right?
Yeah, they just didn't want to say it.
Right. And, I mean, I saw this
coming.
That's
the thing I like about Mike, though, because he kind of has that Joe Biden-esque quality where he says things that are true that he probably shouldn't have said. You know?
And I'm just so glad that they see this because, you know, looking back with some of the hits that we saw in 18 and how they carried that through 19 and beyond with archaeology, really, you know, it just puts us into an entirely different era. So that's really, really good. The tie-in in terms of story and game content will be continuing going forward. And
I really, 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 really like that. I mean, it's hard for me to kind of like digest the lore in the game, you know, with the way things are, but like in all like really good MMOs, that's kind of like you don't have to do quests alone to know the story. Like different places have meaning, and it's got all this stuff just from walking around, just from looking at stuff, you know, I mean, just it's part of the game other than just in quest. So that was really cool.
And another good thing that came with this, every new piece of content going forward is going to start with a narrative brief.
Yeah, I like that. Because, and you know what? Who was it that said we want it to like, it's Mud Warden, right? Where he was like, we want the right things in the game that fit in with the game that, that fit, like, you know, that it's not these like just weird little one-off type deals. Like he talked about this if it's like in the early first or second stream he was on,
about what the game needs in particular. Amazing, isn't it? They said that the quote of "dig deep, war is coming" that we heard in the archaeology slogan in the lead up to the launch of the skill is a hint towards future content, and no one has figured out what it means yet.
We're going to get into that Anachronia archaeology spot, man.
Yeah,
we're gonna it's going to be a boss. It's going to be a quest.
And then there's going to be something with the Elder Gods associated with it. And
or what if it wasn't a quest? What if it was a mystery?
Ooh.
Because these mysteries are just about as good as quests in some instances.
Right. And you know, with that, maybe this is what they're wanting to do in addition to the quest, is that there will be a piece of content released with that quest that is bigger. Because, you know, they did hint that there are bigger pieces of content coming, and they're not going to reveal them all because they want to, you know, keep and use the surprises, as they said. There's got to be something archaeology-based with that. And the Dragonkin, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll take this opportunity to say that we're going to start piecing these things together 2 weeks from now, because next week is iOS week. But we're going to start piecing these things together in 2 weeks. We're going to do our first lore rundown with Diana about the Infernal Source. That's going to be the first one that we do. And then we'll start piecing some of these together, and maybe at the end of it we can draw some grand conclusion of what the heck actually happened here.
Just stay tuned, guys. You're gonna like it. Yeah. It's shaping up to be
the
cool.
The pre-production notes on that look really, really good.
I'm going to learn so much myself, which I'm looking forward to.
The next quest is to well into production. Activity pets are on the way, and the next piece of big content is being worked on. So not much new there. There's a number of ways they can go forward with continuing to add to archaeology. They're going to be examining this internally. And they have a fairly strong quarterly cadence. And that the Ninja Team is going to be a good outlet for shorter and medium-term content to fill in those gaps in between the quarters. So that's what that means. And that's why there was this huge restructure of the Ninja Team. Believe it or not, the Ninja Team, from the sense I got, doesn't fall under episodic. It falls under Mike's Live Ops team.
I got that impression, too.
Okay, so it wasn't just me.
No, I got the same impression, and I was a little confused.
Because the episodic content team is designed to produce new content for the game, whereas everything else is about keeping the game fresh, keeping people consistently logging in, and you do that with events, and you also do that with focusing on QOL, quality of life.
And, I guess in that regard it makes sense.
Yeah.
But, I didn't get it at the time.
I loved hearing the words strong quarterly cadence. Because, you know, that's what the goal was to fix last fall, as we heard from Mod Osborne himself, and he wasn't able to be here because he had family time and whatnot, so that's fine. But he wanted to be there too for this one.
Yeah, no, I think there's been enough like lessons learned. I mean, and boy, looking back on the summer after Anachronian and that time, it just seems so minuscule now looking back, but it was so important at the time.
It was worth the wait.
It was worth the wait. Like, all the stuff that was coming was so worth it.
Like, imagine the theory being that had archaeology happened for summer 2019, they would have launched probably with a 6th dig site, the Orthon dig site, and they would have launched Anachronia with that too.
Yeah.
And that's why Anachronia felt so empty when it arrived.
Right, and I don't know if it... I find it hard to believe that archaeology would have been as good, because I firmly believe that extra time made it so much better of a product when it finally came in.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. All right. Ninja Team-wise, back in January, they announced the reemergence of the Ninja Team because lots of people didn't know if it was still going on or whatnot. And they're going to expand the Ninja Team's focus to have them bring in some marketing and creative aspects into the Ninja Team. And Shattered Worlds was an example on this. Because, like we said, it's basically a relaunch for Shattered Worlds. And I guess the creative side would be what? Maybe some art assets, I'm guessing? I don't know.
Well, I mean, there was different mechanics that they, you know, with the bosses and stuff like that.
Yeah. Then Mod Warden had this to say, and I'm going to read this entire passage out because I think it was really important, perhaps the most important sentence of the entire live stream. So he said, I looked over the releases for last year, and, you know, he said they do at least 50 a year with some additional hot fixing in between. And he said he saw a lot of elements that could have been framed a little bit differently and talked about a little bit differently or group the content into stronger beats.
Yep.
And that's what we said. Like, that's what we have said time and time again. The content was there. It was just a matter of framing it differently. And
framing and the spacing, the packaging. Like, when I heard him talking about this stuff, I was like, you know, they sure did get the right guy.
Yeah.
Like, they really did. So it really made me look forward to the rest of this year, like when it comes to RuneScape anyway.
But the main point is that, yeah, sure, there's lots of updates they did. But anytime someone uses the word framing, that's when I take note. Because it means that they're going beyond just conveying whatever information is there. And they're looking to make it have the most impact as possible and convey an overarching message. And when you're conveying that overarching message and you're framing things in a specific way, you are inherently going to be more likely to persuade the people listening to you or reading your content. And when you can do that, you're going to come out ahead. And that's why this was the most important sentence of this entire live stream.
And he's also like not, he's able to do the framing, I think, because he's going to be he's packaging the content in a different way.
He's so packaging the content to build a release cycle.
Right. And there is like a theme as it comes out, and you can, I mean, that's step one. Like you have like two framing, right? I mean, you need a few things that are similar, and then now let's build the conversation around that. Like, this is our vision. This is what we're putting out. This is what we're sticking to, what we're saying, and being, you know, consistent and you know, all of those things, like, kind of goes into it.
The Ninja team gives a direct channel to have a refreshed look at pieces of content that the players are interacting with, and Moda Warden wants to see more frequent and dynamic Ninja updates. So there we have it.
It's like, he said, I like it. Give me more. More.
And, you know, a really interesting thing, and, you know, they were like, hey, let's tease what's happening with the Ninja team. And he said they're looking at things like the Grand Exchange and parts of the user interface. Like, oh, really? Finally?
UI, huh?
Yeah. Working with UX people and whatnot. And, you know, it's actually a perfect time to mention this because this week we published Sirion's Informer article about what if RuneScape's UI was consistent. And, you know, what?
Well, what if frogs had wings? They wouldn't bump their ass on lily pads. We'll never know.
And he says there isn't a consistent way that the UI is designed. You need to relearn how each interface works, what each button does. And he says it has a massive impact on your day-to-day life. And the example he gives is if you use Windows, you know that you can always close the current window in the top right. Most programs are going to have a file menu where you can find your regular options of save and load and whatnot. And what he does in this article, and, you know, I think it'd be really interesting to have a look at this and see if any of this ever comes to fruition. He goes through all the various, some of the user interfaces in the game, like focusing in on the bank rework as one of them, and some of the hints and patterns that brings forward, and then extends that out to different variants of buttons. And what he did with his article is that he actually went through some of the user interfaces, like the Make X interface, and change some of the button styles so that they would be consistent with the paradigms that were previously established. He also did the same thing with the mining and smithing interface. And the example he gave is that if you look at the clan interface, where you see your clan list, like the people who are currently in the clan chat channel, all those buttons at the bottom are aligned to the left. So he said, okay, what if you then take then do the same thing with the mining and smithing interface, with the inventory interface? So he aligned all of these different ones to the left and gave them a unique style associated with it. He also brought forward a new style of buttons that should be used, because he rightly made the assertion that every time you see a yellow button in game, it should be used as a quick action to use the space bar, because, you know, that's the go-to thing in, you know, the Make X interface. You press the space bar, it carries out the command that you want, right? And if you press the space bar when you're viewing dialogue, it moves you on beyond the next piece of dialogue. So with that, he said that any yellow button should be a cue to the player that when you press that button, it will respond based on your spacebar. So as a result of this, other interfaces like the VizWax interface have been redesigned, as have been some of the Challenge interfaces, as has been the Grand Exchange. He's also brought in a new font that's similar to what we see in the bank system and so on and so forth. And with this, this is what you can kind of expect and what you would expect to see if they did an end round look of how the interface of RuneScape looked from a stance of design consistency. And, you know, I figured this was a good time to bring this up because they were talking about interfaces in the Grand Exchange. So if you want to read our take on that, or in particular Sirion's take on that, you can find a link in the show notes to this article, What If RuneScape's UI Was Consistent, at update.rsbnb.com. And, you know, I think everybody should give this a read because it's actually really interesting, and it's in such a way that it'll just make sense. So give that a read at informer.rsbnb.com.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
Sirion really comes through again.
And you know what the funny part is? You know, 5-6 years ago, even a decade ago, I would be the kind of person to write this article. But we've just brought people on who are able to do all these things and more that they kind of just happened organically. So I was really pleased to see that article from Sirion. So give that a read. What If RuneScape's UI Was Consistent? All right, back to the live stream, I think. I figured that would be a good time to insert that. Player advocacy groups, they're still working out some of the kinks, figuring out how they should move forward with it. So that's a slam dunk way of saying is that they need a couple of little tweaks and fixes here and there, and then we'll see if we continue on with them.
Yeah, there wasn't. I don't know. And I don't know if they should have or shouldn't have, but I noticed there was no mention of some of the criticisms that people had.
Yeah, I don't know that a live stream like this would have been the right place to talk about it because the community could have taken it and ran with it in a way that would have been counterproductive to the live stream. So.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Although they were on Twitch, where presumably all of those audiences would have been on there. I
mean, right? See what I mean?
Right? Yes, I do.
All right, live ops. Mod Mike gets to shine. Or at some points in the live stream, he decided not to shine. He actually grayscaled out his screen, and he started talking about Treasure Hunter, but we'll get there. We'll get there. All right. Double XP Live. The name change was a refresh in the terms of presentation because it went Double XP Weekend to Double XP Weekend Extended, and they wanted it to be Double XP Live because it was a bit unclear about what exactly the extended time period meant.
I wish they had done this 2 months ago, but
what do you
whatever. Mean? Thanks, guys. This is something that I talked about a few months back, and then they came out and changed it because I was talked about evolution of, you know, Double XP Weekends, and here we go. Here's another step in that evolution.
Yeah, so. and you did nail that.
You know what I didn't nail, though? Here's one thing I didn't nail. And this hurts me just a little bit, but Sirion was right last week.
Oh?
It's not as special.
Yep. Yeah.
This was
actually the first question that they said, is that Double XP is seen as a Christmas kind of event. Does it reduce how special it is, like Christmas every day? And, you know, he said every few months he feels these things should sort of come around more frequently. And Yak Track is in this bin because he feels that for some people, waiting 6 months is too long in between these events.
Well, and here's what we run into. You know, when you were talking earlier that two different economic arguments can be
made
true
from the same thing.
Yeah, it's just like that in a way. because, I mean, I understand what they're saying, and it's correct in one sense, but it's also correct that it's not as special, like, because it's not. You know how I know that? Because it starts tomorrow, and I've done zero prep. I ain't doing anything for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know why? Because I know that I'm going to get another one in the fall that I'm actually going to care about, maybe.
Yeah. And do. Exactly. As for a toggle, he said it's not off the table, but they don't want to do it because it would make the way the game is played during double XP more intensive.
I think that's bull, man. I think it's the opposite of that, don't you? Like, it's going to make it less stressful because you could just hit the double XP off and then you can run wherever you're going or do whatever you're doing. Like, because there's a lot of, like, daily little things that I will not do when my double XP is active. Like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to the Citadel and working. Sorry, guys. Right. I ain't doing it. No, I'm not doing any of those kinds of things. You know what I mean?
So, like, see, I personally don't care, so it's not a big deal for me. But I can see that.
But it would, you know, I think it's nice if you have the choice if it was yours or not.
But the question is then, how often are you going to toggle it?
Well, you probably toggle it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, going from one thing to another.
I mean, do you really want to be toggling it numerous times a day? Or would, you know, having, you know, three, you know, effective toggles for a double XP weekend be good enough?
But why couldn't it just be right on the little XP thing that's at the top? Why couldn't that be like your toggle? Like, why would you have to go way through all these menus and stuff?
Oh, yeah, of course. You just add it as a right-click context option.
Right, but is that any different than just, like, clicking, like, on your backpack to your friends list or your friends list to your backpack or, I mean, it,
no.
I don't think it's really that much of a hassle.
No, it's not. And, you know, I don't like toggles, not just in this case of double XP, but just in general. So that's where I come from on that. But we know that, and we've been that way before.
That's what I found humorous about this, because we know RuneScape doesn't seem to care. Jagus doesn't seem to care so much about a toggle. But the one time that I think it would actually make sense to have it in that format, they're like, yeah, I don't know if we want to add another toggle. You're killing me, Smalls. Come on.
I don't know. I think it also takes away from the double XP live of just having it be a ticking counter for everyone, so to speak.
I mean, I guess there's that, but
yeah, I see that's the main reason why they haven't done it this way. Yeah, Ghost, who is listening, says that he thinks the main fear is of people abusing the toggle and using it like prayer flicking, as in you would only be
grabbing it on the
XP drops. Yeah.
That's legitimate. That's legitimate. I didn't think about that. So, maybe next time. Or
that's why I think it should be limited. If they do it to a certain number of times, you could toggle. In terms of the XP itself, players are spending the same amount of time as they were before on double XP weekends, and it's seen as a small amount in the average player's lifestyle. And in regards to there being a concern that people might only train certain skills during double XP events, it's possible that some players might see more value in waiting to train things like summoning, but there's unlikely to be a big shift, they say. It could be small over time, and as a result of this, to make sure this is going to happen, they're going to analyze the data after this double XP weekend and possibly report on it on a future live stream.
I think people do that now if they want to. Like,
yeah.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, you'll do that now. You won't train Herblore or Summoning without bonus experience, or it just all depends on if you're trying to be efficient or not. Like, someone that cares about that.
And how much money you're going to want to save, especially for those expensive ones.
And people that don't care about money because they have more than they could ever spend, they're going to train when they want to train.
Like, yeah.
It's, you know.
I still call it that, you know, in maybe 18 months' time, we're just going to go to a thing where you can activate 2 weeks of double XP three times a year whenever you want.
Wow.
So.
And at that point, it's
that would be RIP, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe we shouldn't hope for that. Let's see. Seasonal events. The Easter retrospective has been done. They are definitely aware of the things people didn't like about this one, and they're going to watch out for when future events run into other content. Like, this was an intrusion into archaeology, obviously. And it's about getting the right balance between what we had for Easter versus what we have on Valentine's Day for the mini quest. And that was a good quest on Valentine's Day. We'll say that again.
And they what I was validated because they said they want to put the focus or the people want the focus on Halloween and Christmas.
Which yes, is,
that's what I've been saying yeah. for a long time.
Yeah. Monta Warden says that they need to be seasonal and regular, announced, and make improvements of them, and make sure that people have future chances to participate in them. And the requests are strong for Halloween and Christmas. And, you know, the reason he says this is because this is how events work in Overwatch. You know, in 2016, we had an Overwatch summer event, and each year that same summer event has come back and they've added on to it. And, you know, if we can get into that format for Easter, summer, and Halloween and Christmas on RS, I think those are the four that you need. A little bit less on Halloween and Easter and go big on summer and Christmas with this, I think. And, you know, I think with Mod Warden at the helm and his past experience with these, it is going to be good to have his perspective on this. What was the chuckle for?
Because I was looking, I was looking for the text, and it put me in a different channel.
Oh!
And you didn't notice I was gone.
No, I had no idea you were gone.
It's just a second, but yeah.
Okay. And then they asked, "Should the beach come back?" In chat, he said to shout Claudia in chat if you want the beach to come back. I don't know what that was like. But
I think it's pretty popular.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I think Mod Mike wants to bring it back too.
The thing I want to come back more than the beach is that Christmas event that they had in the crater with all the Christmas events and the snow and whatnot.
That was awesome. And the thing I want to come back more than anything is Duff's House.
Halloween. Ooh, for Halloween. That definitely was a good Halloween event. That could be the venue for Halloween.
Oh, man, wouldn't it be so cool? Like, yeah.
That was good. They're looking at improving mechanics, like we recently saw in the Master Crafting event. Shorter and longer events using different areas, making sure they're rewarding with the right kind of time investment without intruding on what players want to be doing. And they said that even with this Yak Track, there might have been too much that was not archaeology themed for it. And I think you and I both felt that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Then we get to Treasure Hunter, where on that one, Mod might really turn down the color saturation on his screen just to kind of show how people felt about Treasure Hunter at that point in time. And, you know, I think he's going to wear that badge for a long, long time. Because you remember how horrible that stream was back in the fall with him about Treasure Hunter and monetization?
Every time I see him, I think of that, and I think...
And there were memes where people were making him out like a Grim Reaper or something to that effect, I think it was. But, so that's why he turned his color down on that, but... Treasure Hunter, yes. They're a lot closer to understanding what works in terms of the promos. One that was specifically mentioned at doing well was the Diamond Dozen, where you choose exactly what you want in there.
Who would have thunk?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
You know the ones I like the most? I like Diamond Dozen. That one's good. I also like the one where you can pay the Hearts of Ice to upgrade your chests in terms of rarity. Or actually, even the one also where you can upgrade with oddments. I like both of those a lot, actually.
I mean, Diamond Dozen was good because you could pick your item.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Like we said on the show, if you wanted to, you could gear it so you got entirely XP.
Yeah, yeah. So that kind of sold me on
I
that
I geared
one.
Mine for cash bags. And one day when it was in, I got like 2 million GP out of it. So I enjoyed that. Rewards should be innovative and refreshing. And he says it would be nice to see things other than XP gains on Treasure Hunter, though they aren't necessarily bad, but they want to experiment with other things too. Then he says, Mod Mike says, that he's getting ready to kick off some initiatives within the RuneScape team on Treasure Hunter. I'm wondering if this means that we might start seeing oddments dropped in-game.
I never thought of that. I was...
Or maybe making
my
the...
My first thought
or
was
maybe
like...
Making the
I was hearing danger.
Some kind of rune coins or something like that.
See, that... Okay. But that's not... I was hearing flashing yellow lights going, danger, danger, danger.
Well, like, we have it on record that... Right now, in terms of the weapons that are on Treasure Hunter, like the what was the most recent one they did?
That's what I'm afraid
of. That most recent
like,
weapon that they put on there, not the Chaotix, but gosh, what was it? I forget what it was.
The Virtus weapons. The Virtus weapons.
That's as far as they're going to go on that.
So they might not go any higher than that level, but we might see more things like that come in. Which would,
but
I mean,
you wouldn't
just to put
need
it in.
To, but if you were doing that, you wouldn't need to be doing it in concert within the RuneScape team. That would still be limited to their live event stuff. So
you
I wouldn't
break
worry.
Down lucky either, can you?
You can't break down what?
Lucky items.
No,
like that.
You can't disassemble them.
Because I was worried about the. Lance. I was like,
No.
You bring something out like that, then yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah. But one of the discussion points that they keep coming back to is the different types of monetization that they want to be available within RuneScape. Like, for example, is there a time in the future where Treasure Hunter, the reliance of Treasure Hunter is reduced, that it doesn't need to be a monetization stream, and the sense on this is that it can't be turned off, and it needs to be tested to see what works. But Mod Mike wants to move into longer form systems that can be around longer than weekly promotions. And you know what I heard when he said this?
Hey man, it ain't easy to take on Chinese debt, but we're trying.
Loot boxes.
Is that what you?
I heard loot boxes.
Hope not.
That's what I
mean. That's
this.
Forward, 3 steps back. I mean, if you wanted to see people fly off the handle,
well, I
you
mean,
ain't seen nothing until you see a loot box.
But wouldn't it be an interesting thing to see if you put the Treasure Hunter promos away for a week, like all the promos away for a week, right? And then you brought loot boxes in, and you could make it so you could progress towards earning the keys. Through gameplay.
Are you trying to make the players smoke the whole pack again, Shane? You want something to complain about? Boy, I'll give you something to complain about.
You really think it would go over that bad?
Are you kidding me?
I think if it was purely cosmetic, the players would accept it.
Oh, purely cosmetic loot boxes?
Yeah.
But you're running into the same thing of chance and random, and no, I don't think people would accept it.
All right,
loot box has way too dirty of a connotation, man. I mean, if you're talking about framing, you can't frame it with loot boxes. Like that would be toxic from the get go. Like,
yeah,
you'd have to call it happy, fun, four-sided cubicle space of joy or something. I don't know, but it couldn't be that loot box.
And he said Yak Track was brought in to experiment with different mechanics, but also calls to do more cosmetics. How can it be made more enjoyable, not overburdensome, and not a distraction from what you want to be doing in-game is something they're going to be looking at with Yak Track. So maybe Yak Track is the cosmetic stream, but they're going to try something else. Because, you know, I would be okay with loot boxes, but like you said, there would probably be a ceiling hit the roof kind of thing with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you wanted to wake up people that don't really care one way or another, that would probably do it. That'd probably change, you know, some general opinions. That wouldn't be good.
The goal also is to make sure that female variant of outfits are up to par with the male variants. And Mod Warden wants to ensure that there will be the budgets on the graphical side to ensure that they have both female and male variants.
I mean, that's good and all. And you know, with the previous thing, what I heard was when they're talking about distractions, we made the stuff too big, guys. We're sorry.
Yeah.
We'll make it a little bit smaller.
Like next. That giant telescope yak, right?
Yeah. And there's just so. Yes. So that's kind of what I read between the lines there. I was hoping, and I, you know, and I've heard that's the second time that they talked about the female armor and stuff. I didn't realize that was such a problem, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, I don't have a female character.
Right.
I don't know. You know?
All right. On to core experience then.
Woo!
iOS beta conducted using flight test. We talked about all this earlier. The primary thing they're going to be looking at with this is in terms of usability, stability, and what kind of devices are used, screen size, age, etc. And that's why I said I'm going to be testing also with the 5S in addition to the 8 Plus.
I want to test with my phone and the family iPad. And yeah. I told my wife, I'm like, I might be getting another iPad. Straight up. I was like, if this works out, I'm going to have another iPad.
Milestones for this will be that the UI has an interesting challenge associated with it for them because a lot of the interactability on certain areas of the game ultimately needed to be adjusted and polished before they can go forward with the full launch. And once that's done, there'll be an evaluation to see if it's fit to go live. So that's where they're going to go following this. At RuneFest, there were 8 core experience items that were talked about, and 6 of 8 of them have already been shipped. 6 of 8. And the goal with this has been to modernize the game from a future-facing standpoint. So,
only 2 left.
Yeah, the only 2 that are left are making the tick rate faster and movement prediction, which are hard. On movement prediction, Mod Hypnos had to say that it made the game feel a lot better and the difference was night and day, and acknowledges that really? From a user perspective, that it will be an impactful change, and any change like this won't be done if it comes down to affecting fundamental gameplay. Internal playtesting showed this with the client-side prediction in particular for movement prediction. And they're going to do a beta on this when it's ready to go to see if the players like it and if it works.
Okay.
So.
Let's hope PVM likes it.
Yeah. Because remember when they showed it off in the showcase, they were asked, what happens if you lag? And the answer was is that you'll rubber band. So, do you take the game performing how it is, or do you deal with some rubber banding? I don't PVM, so I don't have an answer to that.
Yeah, I don't either. We have to have to call in the expert.
Yes, we will, when the time comes. In regards to Fastic, it's even more tricky to implement than the client-side prediction, and there's no plans at any point in the future to beta test this just because they're not ready to do it, but it's something they're actively looking into. The settings menu is going to be one that they're going to be looking at and reorganizing it just to, you know, be a little bit easier for new players. And they said they're very cognizant of the fact that, you know, the player base knows that these things need to be fixed, and they appreciate that. And they're scoping out whether they can do things like search functions for settings.
Okay.
They want to see also a reorganizing of the menus to make them less cluttered, which makes sense because if you look at RuneScape settings, we went through an entire monthly bit on this. They're a disaster. Yeah. And also, they want the UI that is always at the – or sorry, the UI is always at the top of the list for core experience, and it's also at top of the list for the players. Then, to wrap it up, they were asked, can you tease something? And that was UI and UI scaling. He says, from a tech perspective, they're both extremely exciting to the core experience team, and making the UIs similar between mobile and not focusing in on the user experience and making sure that fonts are scalable and readable is something that they're working on. They're looking for solutions like this and chopping away at it bit by bit, just like they did with mobile and other things.
Almost afraid to get my hopes up too much, but that is great news.
Yeah.
That is just, wow.
You need that for readability.
Wow. Yeah, that would be cool, man. That would be so good.
And, I mean, I'd love to also play RS on my 4K display. And not have the chat box and text be so tiny, right? So, sure, we could make the UIs big, but if you instead have tiny fonts, you're really not that much better.
No, it doesn't do anything. Believe me, I know.
And they're also working on something called long-distance pathfinding, which is the breadcrumb trail that players have. And examples being given are when you get a path in Berthorpe when you start off with, for example.
I like that.
Or when you set a marker on the world map, it should be easy to follow and not have to consistently open the world map and find that path. Breadcrumb trail.
Like the way that they do it with like the tutorials and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I really like that. Like that's easier for me to follow.
Yeah.
I guess until it ain't, because I didn't even realize it was gone, I guess, when it came to archaeology. Well, no, I mean, that's not true, but yeah. You know.
Then just some general grab bag questions before they wrapped up. Seasonal content, winter weekends, where there'll be anything like this that'll bring them back in a different form. And they said it comes down to always weighing the amount of resources that go into these things and if they're worth it. The Voice of Saren event confused people last year. And they aren't on the plan, but nothing is off the table. And do you remember that Voice of Saren event? I actually enjoyed that one.
I do, and I could have swore, I think I said something about it being confusing.
Yeah, because it was worldwide.
Yeah.
So. And finally, how do you combat people using multiple phones to access the iOS beta, setting up multiple Apple IDs, etc.? And they said this is one of the things that they need to work around, and that's why they're limiting it to only a certain number at the same time. And there's really
nothing they can do with that.
I don't know. It's just being an idiot.
Like, I don't understand.
Like, you sign up with one Apple ID, and if you have an iPhone, an iPad, and whatever else you have, you're going to be able to access it. So you only need to sign up with your one Apple ID, folks.
I didn't get that. I'm like, who does that?
Right. All right. One final thing before we move on to our wonderful Patreon supporters this week. Charitable giving update. £75,000 have been donated so far.
That's awesome.
The Play a Part Together charity event. They've added $1 to the charity pool for every player who challenged themselves to the drop, and they did hit their £34,500 marker, and including the money from Old School's initiative, they raised £60,007, which they'll be boosting to £69,000 on their own. And they'd like to give a special thank you to the folks at RS Wiki who came up with some quiz tactically tricky questions for the event. So the RS Wiki came up with these events, or these questions. That's nice.
Very cool. Very cool.
They're going to donate a total of $100,000 by early June, but there are also hundreds of people who our donation could be helping right now. And with that in mind, they've decided to donate what little they've raised a little bit early, or what they've raised a little bit early. With the $6,000 from the Old School 1v1 tournament, they'll be donating a total of £75,000 to the three partner charities immediately. And this is even before Mental Health Awareness Week and before the old school RuneScape DMM tournament ends. And that tournament will be another £25,000 as well. So
awesome.
They're going to hit that 100,000 marker with no problem whatsoever. Well done, everyone. Well done. I did the drop twice. I did my duty.
You did it, Shane?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Yeah, I didn't do well in the three times I tried,
yeah.
But whatever. I showed up.
Yeah.
I can't wiki that fast.
Right. And like I said, there were some issues with connection, but that's all minor in the grand scheme of things. All right. So we do have a question this week, but before we do that, I'll just give a big thank you to our wonderful Patreon supporters this week. I'd like to thank – we got more because we have some new arrivals, and it's also the first week of the month, so we got some extra ones to mention here. So I'd like to first thank 29 Let's Go, Cameron, Cass, C, GB900, Christian S, Diana, Jade Gizmo, JW, a new arrival, welcome aboard, James W, Jason S, Jim M, another new arrival, thank you for subscribing, Joe M, John P, and Jelly, a third new arrival this week. Boy, you guys are generous. Thank you for joining us. Kyle, Nora, Our Memories, Rastifa, Rippeth, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V, Zachary K, and Zez. Thank you, all of you, for your support. It truly does mean the world to us. Lots of fun stuff happening here on the Patreon side. We just recorded and released our monthly bit last Friday, summing up our archaeology experience. That was a good one. We also had our movie night on Monday with Rise of Skywalker, which, I'm sorry, Tanis, but I hated that movie.
Well, what can I say?
But it was a fun community experience nonetheless. I will give you that.
The main idea was just for Shane to watch Star Wars, and I thought, being the latest and newest and on Star Wars Day, and then I forgot that sometimes going to the movies is about going to the movies and having that experience, because when I watched it in that kind of a intimate setting, not as good. Wasn't quite as good.
Yeah, but that's okay. It's all about the community on the other side. We're also doing our roundtable this weekend for Double XP Live on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, which I believe is, I want to say, I don't know what time game time that is. 8 or 9 game time. I'll double check that. The right time will be in the notes. But in any case, if you're a Patreon member, please do come along. You can sit with us, chat with us while we play RS. Just have a bit of a chat about what exactly is going on, anything and everything RuneScape related. And if this sounds interesting to you, whether it be our monthly bits or the movie night or the round table or even the inside update blog post that went out today about a retrospective on archaeology, just head on over to patreon.com/rsbnb and you can sign up for as little as $1 a month. You get special mention in our show notes, early access to them, and you, of course, help fund the costs for hosting and production of the podcast. For $3 a month, you'll receive a special VIP rank on Discord, a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show. And for $5 a month, if you want to give the ultimate gift, you get a shout out each and every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use to build the clip show at the end of the year. So whether it be for the monthly bit, inside update, the roundtable, or even movie night, just head on over to patreon.com/RSBNB if any of that interests you. And, you know, Tanis, I hate to say that, but it was fun for the community side, and, you know, the movie could have just been maybe a tiny, tiny little bit better. But that's okay. Yeah,
I mean, hey, at least we got to watch a Star Wars movie, which is really all I wanted at the end of the day.
And you accomplished that.
Accomplished that. Maybe we'll get something funny next time.
We're going to curate our producers and whatnot, and we're going to build a list, and we're actually going to put it up for vote next month. I think that's what we do now that we've each had our own choice. So we'll do it that way. Yeah. Go back to democracy.
After Rise of Skywalker, Shane's all about democracy.
No, if I was all about democracy, I'd just choose the movies myself.
That'd be all about authoritarian.
Yes.
Shane.
And next month would be Contagion. Very timely.
Oh.
I'm only kidding. All right, we got a question from Mr. Ling this week via Twitter. Do you think that with the comp cape rework being canceled, do you think that the capes that were going to be released should be used in some other way? Back to last summer's controversial button, eh?
Why not? So here's the problem, right? Like, I didn't even like the sound of the comp rework until I saw the capes, and I'm like, well, I mean, at least we get these. Still didn't really like it, but well, at least we get these.
Yeah.
I mean, they were good-looking capes, but where can we use them? What could they stand for now?
Well, they would be largely cosmetic because all the perks were put onto your character if you were wearing a cape.
Right. Right. Which was the complicated...
Which was the complicated comp rework.
And so, I mean, I don't
remember,
know.
Remember back when that happened, people were, you know, hemming and hawing if they wanted that. And as soon as they showed the concept art, I said, you know, they show this art, people are going to want this rework.
They at least were more accepting of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure anybody was jumping up and down.
Yeah.
I know one guy that was jumping up and down, but...
Parnassius?
Otherwise, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, that's the shame, like, because those were really good-looking capes if we could do something, that would be great. But I don't know how you would do something and not have that rework.
Right. And, you know, this is also a Mod Jack project, and anytime it's a Mod Jack project, you get brutal honesty.
Yeah.
he's going to answer your question, but you might not like the answer.
True. Because it goes both ways.
Right.
Get rid of the stone spirits, Mod Jack. Let it go. Let it go, bro. Let him die.
the complicated comp rework was a lore, skills, combat, areas, and activity cape. And then there'd be tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3 of each of those. And then once you got all 5 of those capes, you would unlock a tier 1 comp cape, then a tier 2 comp cape, which would be the true comp cape, and then the tier 3 would be trimmed.
And, I remember why they didn't do that. Never
right? Because, I mean, just it's saying it out, it is complicated. Exactly how that works. Yeah. My biggest stumbling block for this one was that the skilling one would have required people to get all 120s. And I don't think we should be pushing virtual 120s unless a skill actually goes to 120. Because there's something to be said for training that skill when it actually goes to 120 and launches, because you get the full experience with it. But with that being said...
One way or another.
What was that?
I said you get an experience one way or another.
Yeah.
You go to 20, man.
And see, the thing for me is I would have much more fun. And, you know, I already have fun with farming and herb lore, but I would have much more fun if I was doing those to 120 with the 120 content that came out. And that's why I say that. Now, the question from Mr. Link says, should the capes be used somewhere? So that, to me, means we can answer this question in two different ways. We can answer this question and say, should we have these comp capes come back and the complicated comp rework be done? Or should they find a way to bring these cosmetic capes into game and use them for something else? Like the combat capes, for example, or the skilling capes, or the lore capes. And keep in mind, you would have been able to recolor all these, too.
I know.
Personally, for me, I think that if you can build an endgame around skilling somehow and have some kind of endgame that is not, you know, just max and go PVM or go for 120/5.6, then yes, you should absolutely do this. And the question is it going to be enjoyable enough in itself to push people to complete the game? And if you can answer yes, then I believe that you should do this. Bring in, you know, the lore cape, the skilling cape, the combat cape, the area cape, and the activity cape. And just, you know, kind of have them in the same way that we have a gatherer's cape, right?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of linking it or comparing it to. Because even though those capes aren't bad looking, and I would like to see them in that regard, but they already exist, so...
Yeah, and that's why I say you could definitely do that. Now, should some of these cosmetics be used for some point in the future? Like, you know, looking at the skilling capes, for example, there's nothing here that says, because the skilling capes that were brought in, at least some of the variants of them, there's no reason why these couldn't be brought in as a cosmetic reward for something else in-game.
But like what? Because they're going to be associated with the comp, right?
Well, I mean, not necessarily these ones exactly, just the same general style. Because, I mean, if you put this up on a picture and you change the color of it, like, for example, the Tier 1 combat cape, would you really notice that this is what it was from? So I think my answer on both of these cases is yes. That it would be nice to get to that point in the future, as long as we're not forcing people to complete virtual 120s for content that doesn't exist. That's going to still be my caveat on this, I think.
I mean, I'm not really for the rework in any way, so...
Right, because...
If there was a... Like you said, if there was an end... A proper end game...
Okay, then do it.
So, but as for cosmetics, I would be cool with this being, see, the community would never allow this, but, like the skilling cape, I'd be fine if that was like the new max cape, because it has, you actually have a little bit more control over what you could do with it, which would be,
right,
which would be cool. But otherwise, I don't know how you work them in. So,
all right.
I would say yes, but I guess our
answer is yes, as long as it's, you know, associated with an end game, right?
Right, yeah. That's as close as I can get.
And you know, what that'll be is up for debate. And you know, I think the problem with this is that is twofold. One, the problem was initially to fix comp, which in itself was split off into its own project, and they did very well with, I think. You know, like the little usability features of being able to teleport from your teleport book and whatnot, always having the Ardoian cape passives on you, for example, that's great. But the other side, I think, where it took in a life of its own was this was fundamentally, in addition to fixing comp, it was an expansion to comp, and those two should have probably been split out as separate updates. and the expansion to comp being something that is so intrinsic to what the players interact with on a day-to-day basis necessitated player feedback for it because people already had the cape. So they had to do tons of consultation, and you know what happens with tons of consultation? Things get bogged down.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you look at it, what players wanted was exactly what we got.
Exactly.
So, you know, there could, I guess, if you were going to expand on that, then you could bring these in. But that wasn't how they chose to do it. And it just wasn't, you couldn't, I mean, couldn't sell me on it, let alone everyone else.
Right. Like, all right. Well, I think we've answered this question. It's yes, but with certain caveats for me. It has to be a good end game associated with it and not forcing people to get arbitrary 120s. What was yours again, just to summarize?
That's about as close as I can get. And I would say yes if it were to replace the max cape, maybe. Otherwise, I can't really see anywhere else. I know this is a politician answer, but that's all I got.
Right. And it's hard to do, and as a designer, it would be even harder to do it because there'd just be so much influence that the comp side would have on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty then. Thank you for your question, Mr. Ling. If you guys want to send your own questions in, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a DM on Twitter @rsbnb or just shoot us off an at mention on Twitter. That works too. All right. Tech news time. All right. You know, we got some interesting stories this week. Twitch is aiming to develop talk shows and dating programs for gamers.
Is it just me or is Twitch not? But I knew it was.
I have no idea.
It feels so different now. It feels like any other thing. I don't even think it feels gamer central anymore. Like, I don't know.
They want to fund a slate of original unscripted series that would be live and interactive, airing 2 to 3 times a week. And its preferred genres are game shows, dating shows, sports, music, and talk, many of the cornerstones of reality TV. And so much has been said that they're even looking for their own version of The Bachelor.
Thanks. Thanks, RL. That's when this shit started going down. I mean, seriously, though, like, this is just a repackaged MTV.
Right, and you know, it could be coming down from Amazon, too, because it says the global health crisis has provided Twitch, owned by Amazon, a rare opportunity to broaden its audience and experiment with new kinds of programming. While many network TV shows have struggled to produce shows during the pandemic, Twitch's most popular personalities have always filmed themselves from home.
Their boobs out. Did I say that? What?
No. Yeah, I think you're right. use of Twitch, they say, has exploded since the pandemic. Its audience has spent more than 1.2 billion hours watching Twitch in the last month.
Yay, we have a captive audience, guys.
And it says the company isn't trying to abandon its base of young male video game buffs, but they are aware that male gaming enthusiasts between the ages of 18 to 24 and anyone between 18 to 24 interested in general entertainment often looks to Twitch, and providing some original programming exclusive can help Twitch introduce mid-tier talent to some of these new viewers and potentially lure new stars toward the platform. The company wants to spend anywhere from $50,000 to $250,000 a week on these series, which would include 4 to 10 hours of programming. And, of course, this is teeny tiny when you compare it to something like HBO or Netflix. You're right. It would be the new MTV.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, Twitch is successful because of its creators. It's creator-driven. They're going to come down with this top-down bullshit. And no one's going to like it. No one's asked for it. No one wants it. Do guys watch The Bachelor? Come on. Like, you watch The Bachelor because your girlfriend watches The Bachelor and you don't want to piss her off.
I'd like to see something like a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire kind of trivia show.
That'd be fun, but here's the thing. If you want to do that, then use Twitch streamers already.
Yeah.
Like, don't bring in these assholes from all these other platforms. Like, reward the people that have brought you to the dance.
Yeah. They want to bridge the world of gaming and TV. And, you know, reading more into this, they specifically said there's one type of content that they don't want, and it's escape rooms. Everyone pitches an escape room stream, the company said in its request. If you are thinking about pitching, insert talent in an escape room, no need. They're not doing it.
Don't want to show people working together and solving problems? We will have none of that shit around here, goddammit.
Yeah, this definitely feels like it's coming down from Amazon, doesn't it?
Yeah. Daddy Jeff's got everything you need. You don't you be thinking for yourself.
No? All right. Next up, Zoom has acquired Keybase. And, you know, I think everyone's using Zoom in this day and age, right?
Absolutely.
Everyone's using Zoom to video chat and whatnot, and Zoom has had lots of scrutiny placed on it with security breaches and inadvertently sending your data from your Zoom calls to Facebook. So Zoom is trying to react very quickly here, and they said this today they have acquired Keybase, which is part of their 90-day plan, they say, to strengthen the security of their video communications platform. And they say since 2014, Keybase's teams of exceptional engineers have built a messaging and file-sharing service leveraging deep encryption and security expertise. They're excited to integrate Keybase into the Zoom family to help build end-to-end encryption that can reach current Zoom scalability. Now, for what that means for everybody else out there wondering is that if you use Zoom right now, your data as you send it in terms of what you type into the chat and when you send your files isn't encrypted. So with end-to-end encryption, this means that presumably nobody would be able to peep and see what exactly was being said in Zoom chat rooms, which given the increased scrutiny that they've had from their Facebook issues and whatnot, is something that they need to do. They say this acquisition marks a key step for Zoom as we attempt to accomplish the creation of a truly private video communication platform that can scale to hundreds of millions of participants while also having the flexibility to support Zoom's wide variety of uses. And everyone is using it from families to offices. That's what I say. So I just want to parse this a bit. End-to-end encryption basically means that from your client when you send the message to when the person on the other end receives it, it is encrypted so that if anybody saw the data that was coming out of your computer going to them, it would just look like random noise. That's what encryption is, and in particular end-to-end encryption, and it would open up on that platform and you wouldn't need to do anything extra for it. So that's what they're aiming to do with this. They say today audio flowing between Zoom clients is encrypted at each sending client, and it is not decrypted until it reaches the recipient's devices. And with Zoom version 5, Zoom clients can now support industry standard encryption. However, the encryption keys for each meeting are generated by Zoom servers. Now, what this means on this end is that if the keys are generated by Zoom servers, do you know what that means, Tanis?
What does that mean?
It means
that
Zoom could potentially decrypt the files and the messages being sent. So it's pretty much operating the same way that Apple's iMessage works. So we need to just keep that clear, that there's still going to be one party, if they wanted to use the key, who could encrypt that, presumably based on this. We'll have to wait and see what this looks like when this eventually rolls out to everyone here. They say in the near future, Zoom will offer end-to-end encryption, meaning on all paid accounts, and logged-in users will generate a public cryptographic identity that are stored in a repository on Zoom's network and can be used to establish trust relationships between people. So what we're effectively getting from this is that Zoom wants people to use their platform and not be worried about security going back and forth, which, given past events, is something everybody's been worried about there. So we'll just have to wait and see where this goes, right? I need to look into this more technically and see what it's going to look like when it actually arrives, because the news post isn't exactly 100% clear on that right now. But you mentioned Facebook, and it's actually good you mentioned Facebook, because we have a Facebook story again this week.
Oh, it's been so long.
It certainly has. So on Wednesday, a number of very big apps on iOS just started crashing whenever you would open them. Some of them included Spotify, GroupMe, Pinterest, and TikTok, just to name a few. And this is the result of a change that Facebook made to their development environment. So any service that used Facebook's development SDK, or development environment, development kit, would just crash on Wednesday between 3:30 and 5:30 p.m. Pacific. And what this meant is that your apps that were crashing connect to Facebook on launch. And granted, you're not sending any data to Facebook, at least we assume this was Facebook's problem, and they managed to take down all these apps. And for anybody who is worried about this, you know, just let it be known that anytime you're using one of these big apps that you see, oh, let's sign in with Facebook, you open yourself up to this kind of thing if anything like that happens in the future. So this was a really big wake-up call for many people, myself included, because I use GroupMe on this list, and it just wouldn't work. And it wasn't my fault. It wasn't GroupMe's fault. It was Facebook's fault. And I'm not even signed in to GroupMe with Facebook. So I had no idea that my GroupMe was still connecting to Facebook.
I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't know that either, because like I never signed in with,
right,
with Facebook.
And it was
anything.
Still crashing even if you weren't signed in with Facebook, which is worrying in that degree, that something like this, without updating the app, caused a problem. So Facebook's definitely, you know, you got to have some kind of look into what exactly is happening on this, but lots of questions for Facebook following this.
Persona non grata, huh?
Yeah.
Still. Still. All
right. Skill of the month time. We, of course, have the May thieving competition that runs until the 15th, halfway, or not even halfway done this point, 3 days in at this point. Magic King is in the lead with 1.1 million XP, and the other entrants, Lord Earth, Jesse Pinkman, and Ripeth, haven't got any XP yet. So, if you guys are listening to this, get going.
We also covering the official standings, Shane? The official standings?
Yes, we do. And I just want to say that we also do have an attack skill of the month that starts on the 15th and ends on the 25th. If you want to do some combat, sign up at rsvmb.com/skotm. But yes, we do have official figures from the archaeology contest. And oh boy, Brew, 200 million XP. Second place, PK Mage with 111.4. Third, Malinoric with 105.5. Fourth, Derp with 104.8. And fifth, Unknown Raptoid with 100.7. I finished at number 21 with 2.8. And you finished at number 23 with 2 million. I beat you.
You beat me, and I've heard a lot about that.
No, we haven't, have we?
You haven't, no, but I have.
From who?
Oh, just friends. They're all friends. Okay. So, yeah.
I bet they weren't expecting that, hey?
No, they weren't. They told me I need to retire.
Because I was considering myself even doing it casually.
So, yeah.
it was fun to see what exactly people could do in 1 month starting from zero.
It was an awesome contest, unfortunately.
It was a slog.
Yeah, and it happened at a time when I had less time than I normally would have, and it just, all I heard was that old country song, "I'm not as good as I once was."
Well, maybe you can renew yourself with Double XP Weekend.
We'll see.
But yeah, that was fun. And, you know, safe to say we won't be doing another 30-day one, or 31-day one as this one was, again, because that was too long.
It was awesome, though. I mean, it was perfect for a new skill. Like,
right, because everyone was starting fresh, right?
Skill. Yeah, yeah.
So
it's too much for a normal one, but a new skill, man. Yeah, good.
Yeah, because, I mean, the first 80 or so levels fly by, and you're fine with that, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still at 80, so sure. Oh. I mean, if you call that flying by.
I hit 86 recently.
Yeah. I've been mostly only gathering, though. I have, like, 30 artifacts of each kind.
No, I'm getting ready to go.
Right now, so, yeah.
All right. Okay, then. So, I'll take us through some achievements of the week here. Starting off, we have Devil Chat with 99 Mining on May 5th, NL Nightmare with 99 Archaeology on the 5th, Pony Picker with 120 Defense, and R3PO with 99 Mining. Moving on to May 4th, we have Acronia with 99 Archaeology, Madhouse SC with 99 Cooking, Rippeth with 99 Defense, Stinky Pete 22 with 99 Thieving, Wang Zing with 99 Archaeology, Xenon Ray also with 99 Archaeology, Zweek with 120 Archaeology. That's a big one. Nicely done.
Yeah.
All right. Then on to the third we go.
Okay. On the third, we have the Black Mexican with 99 Archaeology. And we have the Black Mexican with 99 Divination. Then we have Corrupt Pony with 99 Slayer. And Dinez with 120 Slayer on the third. And we have Mess Graham with 99 Archaeology on the third. R3PO with 99 Runecrafting on the third. And Tiztokrex, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds good.
With 99 Archaeology on May 3rd. We have Rostifov with 120 Archaeology on the 1st. Nice. and we have X-Blades with 99 Archaeology on May 1st. And Yitzi with 120 Invention on May 1st. And last but not least, Malnoric with 120 Archaeology on April 30th.
Nicely done, everyone. Nicely done all around.
Yeah.
All righty. What do you got for pick of the week?
This week, you know I like me some fighting games, right,
yes,
Shane?
Yes,
like,
of course.
You know, the good old arcade style, yep. Just fun, kind of, you know, don't have to put too much thought into it. And this week, Steam had Soul Calibur 6 on sale. And I remember it coming out at the time. I didn't want to spend $60. So I just kind of put it on the wish list and waited for it to come on sale. It came out in 2018. Great reviews. Finally went on sale. I bought it and I really liked it. It's the first time I've done anything other than archaeology.
Ooh.
With this week. And it's just a lot of fun, and it's got Geralt of Rivia from The Witcher, so you can fight as The Witcher, which is, that's what sold me when I saw that in the trailer. I'm like, yep, I'm gonna buy this right now. And so it's fun, you know, swords, staves, nunchucks, you know, it's good stuff. It's very, like, I want to say it's kind of got like an anime-ish type style to the story as it goes, uh-huh. but the fighting is not that way at all. Like, the fighting isn't like a Dragon Ball Z. It's more of like a Street Fighter type. You know what I mean? Like, it's more in that realm. But yeah, I've had a lot of fun. It's totally worth the $15, and it's got like a really long story. Like, I haven't even finished the story yet. So
nice. And I assume you can find that on Steam. What's the full name of it again?
Soul Calibur 6.
Okay, all one word. Soul Calibur 6 on Steam. And I mean, I see it as full price. So I guess the sale ended on that.
Oh no!
Yeah,
yeah. Sorry,
that's
guys.
Okay though. But
wait wait for it to come on sale because it is a good buy. It's a really good buy.
And you know, looking at some of the art, it's what you could imagine. You know, maybe at some point, RuneScape might even look like.
That'd be cool. Oh, when RuneScape fighting game.
Yeah.
Bring it. I get my revenge.
Yeah.
You kill me out in the air patch. Oh. Come here, boy.
All right, I think with that we can move on to what have we been up to on RS?
Same day, like archaeology.
Same thing, different day, archaeology. Yep. What level are you up to? What are you doing? Focusing on collections, just training, what?
I'm 80, and I am still like outside, like in the bottom part of the Warforge.
Right.
I'm waiting to be able to open up that door, and yeah. I could probably get it, but I've only got 3 pieces of Encando. So I wanted to get the last piece of Encando and then go through and then grab the keys. And
I got all my Encando pieces by 83.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Can you still get the Encando once you're out of this part, like if you go beyond?
Oh, yeah, anywhere.
Okay.
Anywhere in Warforge.
I might go beyond because I have, like, I literally have about 30... artifacts, so those first 3 things, like I have like 30 a piece of them, so that'd probably knock me up at least a couple levels.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Also, I just looked up our levels and compared us. I'm 2834, you're 2837 total level, but you have a billion more XP than me.
That that threw me off. I'm like, what? How? What? Okay. Well, I know invention is probably part of it because I'm 200.
Right. Right. That's true. Okay. How'd you do on Yak Track?
Not well.
All right.
I did the first few, but man, I get tunnel vision. When good content comes out, you know, like,
yeah,
that's where we were
pivoting to me. I finished Yak Track. I finished all 50 tasks. So I got all the nice cosmetics that came with it. That was what I finished off after finishing the podcast recording last week. But since then, I spent about 2 hours or so at Big Game Hunter. Nothing yet. Might do the same thing this weekend. We'll wait and see if I can get the second Dragon Matic. If not, I'll just buy it. I mean, why not? Because it is worth getting a Dragon Matic in the 80s. It really is, if you can make the Encando, just because it's going to help as you progress through the 80s and 90s. Because you don't want to be using Crystal past 90. You definitely don't. And at the 80s, you're going to feel a nice boost if you have Encando. So I might just buy it if I don't get it this weekend. But yeah, as I mentioned, archaeology... Mainly, my focus has been doing the same thing that I've been doing. If there's a mystery I can solve and complete at my current level, I'll do that. If there's research that can be done, that gets done. But most of what I've been doing is I've just been, you know, doing training at the best archaeology spot available to me. I'm kind of sad that I'm leveled up to 86 because the level 85 one at Stormguard was really nice. Because it didn't need too many materials. You only needed 2 material slots each, and you could get all those at Stormguard. You also only needed rope for one of the secondaries, which is easy enough to get. I might even just go to a material cache and finish off the artifacts that I excavated there because, you know, they're good for XP. I think they're around 9,000-ish XP, if I remember correctly, at tier 86. So I might finish off those artifacts before moving on to the Caridat site from 86 to 89. So we're in for a bit of a long slog now.
Ooh, yeah.
But aside from that, daily challenges. I always do my daily restoration challenge because it's just there and you do it and it's a nice drop of XP. I also got a somewhat okay Tetra Compass today with 50 onyx dust in it, a bunch of materials, and 10 crystal keys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. That was a fun one to get. So... yeah, I'm still enjoying archaeology. I'm not feeling bored of it at all.
Me too. Yeah, so I'm not either. Not in the least.
That's what I've been up to, and I don't know where I'm going to stop at this point, honestly. Like, I thought I'd stop with pharmacology at 81, but I've blown past that. I still have that archaeology cape sitting in the corner, the 120 cape staring at me, the real-life version of it, that says, oh, you got to get 120 now.
See, this is still the funnest thing. Like, this is still the funnest thing to do in RuneScape right now.
Yeah.
Like, when you get on, you know?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I've still been able to work in some of the herb runs in there. And for anybody who wants to make a quick buck, though it's probably going down at this point, Spirit Weed is excellent this week. If you already have the seeds, if not, you might be better off investing in Toad Flax or Quorum, I think it is. But yeah, all in all, good times on RS these days. I was telling Earth earlier, and the only problem I have on RS these days is that if I continue past 200 mil farming XP, if I actually do complete that breeding log and complete the reputation system, I'll get 200 mil, and I won't be able to get farming XP going forward, and that'll be kind of sad.
Well, but we know now that your log will still keep track of it.
Right.
At least.
I've been meaning to ask someone, is that premium metrics or just all metrics?
Oh, that I don't know. I would assume it's premium.
Can you ask someone who knows all this kind of stuff for me on that?
Yeah, I think, I'll ask Rasta. I'm pretty sure he's the one who brought it up.
Thank you. I think that's it for this episode of Update, mind you. I don't have anything else. You good?
I'm good, man.
Alrighty. Listeners, if you want to subscribe, that is the best way to get the podcast. Just visit update.rsmovie.com/subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Stitcher, YouTube, anything under the sun, at update.rsmovie.com/subscribe. And do leave us a rating on there. It helps with visibility on all these platforms. So please do that, update.rsmovie.com/subscribe. And, of course, you can also find our friends chat in-game, which is Bits Bytes, all one word. And you can also join our Discord at rsbnb.com/discord if you want to chat with us. All of us hosts and producers are in there. We have a good time. rsbnb.com/discord. So with that being said, we'll be back next week to hopefully discuss the iOS mobile beta. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya.